It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody needs Packer information from Jason Wilde every day of the year. You go to the Wisconsin app, ESPN Wisconsin app, and just hit Jason Wilde and spend every free moment you have listening to him talk about the Packers. You'll be a lot smarter as far as the Packers. Good evening, Jason.
That's an important caveat you included there.
Yeah.
Just about the Packers, yeah.
But it could be other things.
Don't spend all your time. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
No, if you're a Packer fan, that's how you should allocate part of your time as a Packer fan is listening to what Jason Wilde had to say about the Packers. How many hours is it? How much time would that take? I guess, Pebble, you can work on that. How much time
Pebble,
would it take?
Pebble, that's not worth your time. Not that important. All right.
Okay, if you say so.
What do you got, crazy
right,
old man?
What do I got is Sean Mannion. I think that there should be discussion about him replacing someone who was as highly thought of as any coach for the Packers whenever he was an assistant with the Packers. Is that an overstatement about Tom Clements?
Of course it is. That's what you do, though. That's your brand.
Well, then what's the proper way to describe his greatness or the respect for his ability?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, as much as I love Tom Clements, especially the later iteration where he wasn't quite as condescending to us as he was the first time around.
That really bothers you. That bothers you when people are
It
way.
Does. I just hate that. Like, I would hope, there's a lot of things people can say about me. I hope the people that don't like me would say that I have other unappealing qualities and wouldn't say I'm condescending, because that pisses me off. Now, that said, kind of like FedEx guy upset Sadie. So, first of all, I would argue James Campen is more legendary.
He didn't necessarily get
two Hall guys to the Hall of Fame. But I think it probably helped Tom Clements' quarterback coaching accomplishments by having guys of that talent.
Right. I would put Campen above Clements. Join that club.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you think about the guys they developed while he was the offensive line
coach.
Well,
and as you do appropriately, you also listen to what the players say.
Yeah. Even Tausch. So Tom Clements is, but forget about condescension. Forget about Campy for a minute. He is a fantastic quarterbacks coach. Now, you know, he had the play calling duties for a little while, and then Mike McCarthy took them back. So I always feel like there are coaches who rise one station above where they should be.
Ooh.
And I'm whether or not that would have been different with him. He was an offensive coordinator in Buffalo. He was the offensive coordinator here without the play calling. Then McCarthy took back, gave him the play calling, didn't even make it the whole season before Mike took it back. And then obviously they kept him around for the rest of his contract, and then he quasi-retired, and then he came back with
quarterback
with LaFleur,
coach but, might be perfect for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's great at it. He's absolutely phenomenal, and he'd probably be even better if he could coach the position the way he did when they had quarterback school, like him and McCarthy. You know, McCarthy wasn't necessarily the inventor of the quarterback school. I mean, him and Clements kind of put it together. He's phenomenal. I mean, Jordan Love is a meaningfully different player having had him as his position coach. Like, you've heard me say it a million times, but like in 20 and 21, I'm sorry, Jordan Love wasn't very good. And all these folks that want to say, "Oh, I knew it all along. He was going to be awesome."
They're lying.
You weren't standing at practice.
There were some, but it was small.
And frankly, Goody, you know, if we're being honest, Goody didn't know either. Otherwise, you don't give Rodgers the contract you gave him. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Goody's afraid of making tough decisions, as he's shown. So what I'm saying is that I think Jordan Love's a talented cat, but Aaron Rodgers did him two favors. One, the way he left and getting on a lot of people's nerves prevented there from being the rerun of 2008. And then two, bringing basically making LaFleur hire Tom Clements when Getsy left was great. And so there's no question that the dynamic is now vastly different. Now, Luke Getsy is in the quarterback room along with Sean Mannion, and obviously Matt LaFleur spends a lot of time there. But I think what's neat, and what I would argue, especially for Jordan at this stage of his development, is probably beneficial, is that now he's gotten to spend 3 full years, right? It was 22, 23, and 24 that Tom was back for. He's gotten 3 full years of the Tom Clements experience that includes all the fundamental work and focusing on your footwork and all the stuff. And now he gets a dude that, and I know Tom Clements was a great college player and great in the CFL, but he gets a guy who was a backup in the NFL for like a decade. And what I think is important about that, and I actually asked Sean about this today, because one of my favorite guys that I covered, and I know I have a lot, but one of them is Doug Peterson. And Doug Peterson's a hell of a coach. I'll tell you who the next guy is that you need to keep your eye on. It's Scott Tolzien. Who was a backup guy in the NFL, but, you know, he was on Mike McCarthy's staff.
Could he be like a Darrell Bevell?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Darrell Bevell got some head coaching opportunity, interview opportunities. He never got a head coaching job, but I think he's still coaching in the league too. So my point is that it's going to be a different perspective than Tom brought. Obviously someone closer in age. I mean, you know, they also had a year together in the quarterback room with Sean and Tom, and then obviously Love and the quarterback. So, you know, he got the, there was a kind of a overlap year there. So
he would, most people would know he was on the staff last year, right?
He was a coffee guy. I think he did more than that, but yeah, certainly a lower rung entry level.
Jason,
job.
They have so many coaches. They list him on Wikipedia as an offensive assistant.
Yeah, that was
because
the
there's
title.
Nothing left. They've filled every position. You can't be the backup quarterbacks coach. So offensive.
Well, not only
assistant.
That, but they had Connor Lewis was the assistant quarterbacks coach.
Right.
So they had during the season, they had as many coaches in that room.
Right.
In fact, when LaFleur would come in there, they would have 4 coaches and only 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah. All Maybe right. Here's John my big Clifford. Question: If Jordan Love struggles, will it be appropriate to say he misses Tom Clements?
No, I don't think so. Mm. I mean, now if Jordan Love struggles, will there be a myriad of reasons, and will it not just be all Jordan Love's fault? Of course, because it's never just one thing.
But you don't think that will be appropriate?
No, but primarily it'll be his fault.
Okay.
Like if he doesn't make the big jump, like yes, you could say that he didn't get great protection, or the game plan sucked, or the coaching change affected him, and all of those might be true. But again, and what I like about Jordan is he doesn't need people to make excuses for him. He doesn't need people to say, oh, it's okay, Jordan, you're still great. I always believed in you. When he doesn't play well, he says it. He owns it. And so I would say that going into year 3 as the starter, I think he would say, look, I'm ready to play at a top-flight level, and if I don't do that, maybe there's other circumstances that contribute, but at the end of the day, it's me who's in charge of making sure I do that.
All right, tell us whatever you want to tell us about Sean Mannion, because I don't know anything about him other than that he was pretty good in college. I don't know what
Oregon
he lacked.
State.
What he lacked in the pros, because he was clipboard guy.
But again, there's, you know, and some of it's situational, and sometimes you don't get opportunities, right? And who knows, had he gone to the right system at the right time with the right coach, maybe he has a totally different career, right? But a lot of times, you know, look, you have to be drafted, and I don't know what he was, like a third-round pick, maybe.
I think it was third and 90-something. Let me check here. 89th pick in 2015.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a third-round pick, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
Russell Wilson was a third-round pick, and look at the career he's had.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying this guy's Russell Wilson, but circumstances were probably part of it. But that said, he's a coach's kid, so at least his dad was at most of his games because he was coaching him. But on top of that, you know, he's just he has this really smart football mind that and you know the guy – one of the guys that I think the world of is John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks.
And he's in
Seattle.
John
Schneider, and he told him when he was in Seattle. He was there multiple times, by the way.
Yep.
He told him, you're going to be a head coach someday in this league.
Really?
Yeah.
Then don't tell me anything else about Sean Mannion. All people need to know about Sean Mannion is...
That was what I wanted to tell people right there.
Yes. I don't need to know anymore. If you believe in Schneider, which I do, I probably don't like him as much. Yes. So what do you have to do to best use him? Because I don't. How often has Schneider said that to you about coaches? I'll bet not very often.
Yeah, not very. I mean, I don't know how many coaches he and I have discussed, but
my point is, he doesn't.
Guy.
Some guys just pump up everybody. He's not that kind of guy. There's something about Sean Mannion that he really likes.
No, if John doesn't think very highly of someone, he makes it very clear.
All right, so I want to know what's so good about this guy that he could be a head coach of the Green Bay Packers one day.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know him at all, right? This is the first time I've ever actually gotten to speak to him. You know, I don't want to pretend like I'm a Sean Mannion.
Yeah,
expert.
Well, when you do your story, I know the guy you're calling.
For sure, and multiple other people. But the bottom line is that this is a guy who, you know, is a really good football mind, and he's new school as opposed to Tom Clemens, who's old school. And there's nothing wrong with being old school.
What is new school for those who don't know?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's a guy that played in the league as recently as 2023. Like, in Jordan Love's first season as the starter, he could have been in the same quarterback room, not as the coach of it, but as the backup quarterback behind him. Like, he joined the Packers staff last year, but he played in the league. He was with the Vikings in 2023 and then the Seahawks again.
Right. He played like, one game in his last, I think, 4 years.
Right. But he's, but what I'm saying is that he was there in uniform. Right. And so he has a totally different life experience and NFL experience and coaching experience than Tom Clements, who is 71 years old. And both of those perspectives and both of those knowledge bases and both of those insight levels are extremely valuable. But to me, and again, I'm not making excuses for him, but to me, they've got the best of both worlds for Jordan Love, because on the one hand, he had the old school guy when he needed to work on his fundamentals, and now he's got the new school guy who just played in the league who can teach him different things that Tom Clements couldn't.
Yeah, and I want you to ask John Schneider if at any point he ever said to someone, like he said to you, about Tom Clements, that he'll be a head coach in the NFL. Huh?
Yeah, I think I would ask him, did you ever have any other players that you said that about them being a head coach in the NFL someday? Because obviously he had Mannion as a player, and Tom Clements is 20 years older than Schneider and I are.
Yeah, but I mean, Clements and Schneider crossed paths in Green Bay, right? Could I be wrong? They did.
But my point is that when a general manager says that about a dude that's a player, right? That's different than him saying it. I'm sure people in the building were like, you know, Joe Philbin, he's understated, but I could see him being a head coach someday. And then he obviously got the Dolphins job. Didn't go great for him in Miami, but went okay. But I think it's different when you say that about a player who is currently active and then obviously goes on to, and look, let's make sure we're being honest here. Sean Mannion has a hell of a long way to go before he's a head coach, but he's certainly on a good track for it, considering he's been retired for a year and a half?
As
a player?
Yeah, as a player.
I know he didn't play, but he was still on an active roster.
That's true. Through 23, so he's been out just a couple years.
Yep.
All right, now, the schedule, you'll be part of the special schedule show, which is at 7. The debate is the importance of the first game. The Packers opened at home against the Lions.
Reportedly.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable that that's going to be the case, don't you think? And then Thursday, I think they have a game. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I don't know about that Thursday game. Again, there's a lot of reports out there. I would say this. Jordan Schultz works for Fox, and he's the one who reported Packers-Lions in the first game at Lambeau, which will be telecast by Fox. So I feel fairly confident that he's got that information right. Mm-hmm. As much as I would love to, you know, take the word of NFL nerd or whoever it was that was tweeting out these other games, he, she, them may be right. I have no idea, but you know let's not say for certain that they're going Sunday against the Lions and then week two right away again at home against Washington. But if that's true, that is either a supreme opportunity to go out there and be star-spangled awesome and beat two of the top contenders in the conference to get off to a 2-0 start. Or not only if you lose those games are you in an 0-2 hole, but on top of that, and I said this to Tausch, I know this is, as Mike McCarthy would call it, a polluted mindset, but if you do that and you lose those games, you only have 8 home games this year.
This is a great point.
So suddenly now, I mean, hey, you win them, you still only got 6 home games left,
right,
but at least you won both of them. You split them, you're now looking at 15 more games left in the season, and 9 of them are on the road, and 6 of them are at home. That's a pretty wide disparity for the final 15 weeks of the season. So,
and that makes those two games, to me, even more important,
regardless of
who they were. If it was against the two worst teams in the league, that has to be noted. I said in my Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, would you be okay with a 1-1 start? And I said, yeah, I'll take 1-1 in those two games. Will you?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Packers and those are my two opponents, obviously, and I know people are, I want them to go 2-0. Yeah, I know. So do they. They want to go 2-0 also.
Yeah,
but if
so
those are
Jason
your first
will
two,
take 1-1.
Yeah, I just don't think, like, I don't want that. Like, and I've said this before, I tell this story, I feel like, every year when the schedule comes out, but Ron Wolf used to look for two things when he got the schedule. It was, are there any stretches where we have to play three road games in a row, which used to piss him off to no end.
Because he didn't think it was fair.
No, and he wasn't wrong. And the other thing was, how many of our games are in December at home?
Because he thought that was a huge edge.
Correct. And that was before they would play January games in the regular season. But he would always want, if you're going to have it weighted one way or the other, he wanted more games in the elements against, preferably against warm weather teams. But like, you know, I was actually thinking, I always like to check on the old people in my life, including you.
Thanks.
But I haven't talked to him in a while, and this is a good excuse to call him, because I'd be curious, you know, if this schedule does fall this way and they have two home games out of the chute, especially against those two opponents, and they end up not having very many home games.
No, he wouldn't have liked
December,
it. You know the answer to that.
I do, but I want him to say so.
All right.
So I'm very curious about that, yes.
Thanks, Jason. We'll get the exact number of how much time it takes to listen to all of Jason Wilde on an average week.
Don't waste your time.
We know
that.
You don't like it.
Listen,
but that's
when you can.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah, he's starting to do it the way I do it. Pebble, there's hope. He just did a homer to homer, right?
He certainly did, but he did say, take care, be good first before you can treadle down.
Yeah,
so.
But the end of it was just buy, which is exactly what I do. Fisco Auto Body, family business, owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. That's why they're so good. It's still in the family. They've been doing it so long that by now they're just so good at it. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin, expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle because they've been doing this for so long. They are this. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. Tim Van Vorn is not next, but soon.